Good morning, everyone. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Zach Dunbar. I'm one of the lay leaders here. And when Andy asked me to do this, I have two iPads. This is for the sound. I don't need this. I'm just going to accidentally hit something and probably mute myself or whatever. I don't know. But when Andy asked me to do this sermon, he did ask me. And I don't know if you guys have ever been asked by Andy or a pastor before, but usually when they ask you, there's a reason, and you really have to consider your response. You really have to say, well, should I say no? Yeah, probably, but let me pray about this. And then God says, no, you shouldn't say no. And then you're like, but I really want to. Should I say no? So, alas, I didn't. I said yes, and I'm happy to be here. Preparing for this sermon has been a huge blessing for me, and it's an honor to be here in front of you guys sharing God's word and message that he's put on my heart this week, and it's been awesome. In part of my undergrad, what I did, I actually did my degree is in religious studies. I have a bachelor's in religious studies, and in that, it's kind of like a seminary light or an intro to seminary, and you can do it, and then it's like a free trial almost. Well, free trial. So I've only done that so far, but in that you take a lot of courses where you write papers, of course, and you prepare for doing that, and in that you really like dive deep into scripture and stuff, and preparing for the sermon kind of reminded me of that. And it was really refreshing. But as a part of this summertime series that we've been going through called the Story Time with Jesus, today we're going to be exploring the importance of being persistent in prayer. Oftentimes we doubt the effectiveness of our prayers or wonder if we're even asking for the right things. However, the parable of the persistent widow in Luke 18 reminds us that persistence in prayer is crucial. The widow in this story continually asks for justice, not out of revenge, but out of a desire for what is right. Today's scripture reading comes from Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually come and attack me.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones, who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will say that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. God, thank you again just for this opportunity to be here and to be your mouthpiece, God. I pray that I am out of the way and that I am just used by you to share the message that you've laid on my heart and on the hearts of the leaders here, and just help us remind us the importance of prayer through this message, and just continue to be with us, help our hearts and minds focus on what is being said, and let it come from you, God. And I just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. This parable underscores God's response to our prayers. Many of us expect immediate answers when we pray. We seek quick signs from God, like, "God, please let this light be green," or, "God, should I take this job or not, or that job?" But often, he answers in his own time. Jesus compares this to the Son of Man's coming, emphasizing that God will respond, but in his perfect timing. The timing is based on his knowledge of the plans he has for us, which are always for our good. I'd like to read another scripture, too, that I found. It's Luke 11, 9 through 13. It reads, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? In this passage, Jesus teaches us to ask, seek, and knock. He says that giving scorpions is a terrible idea, which I suppose. I don't really have those laying around, and my kid doesn't ask for an egg, usually. But he does promise to those who ask. He promises that those who ask will receive. Those who seek will find, and to those who knock, the door will be opened. He further illustrates this by comparing God's generosity to that of earthly parents, reminding us that if flawed humans can give good gifts, how much more will our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And like I said, in preparation for this, and much like I did in my undergrad, whenever a lot of folks have study Bibles, and in those they usually, it's like half of the Bible is scripture and the other half is commentary. They have these commentaries where it's an entire book or books of just comments. So a lot of people have said a lot of things about scripture. And one of those people or peoples have said about this particular scripture I found really insightful. And it's from the IVP, New Testament Commentary. I don't know what IVP stands for. I think I looked it up, but I completely forgot and I didn't write it down. So, alas. The IVP, New Testament Commentary, and they say, the answer to the dilemma of prayer is that it is not intended to do something for God, but for us. It's, again, the answer to the dilemma of prayer is that it is not intended to do something for God, but for us. It is one of the mechanisms of relationship that God gives to his children to be in touch with him. God may not need prayer, but we do. And that, ain't that the truth? God may not need prayer, but we do. This explains that prayer is not for God's benefit, but for ours. It's a means for us to maintain our relationship with him. This parable itself features two main characters, the persistent widow and the indifferent judge, and then the third would be God, because he's in a lot of these. The widow's unwavering plea for justice, despite the judge's initial refusal, illustrates the power of persistence. The judge, who, quote, neither feared God nor respected man, eventually grants her request to avoid being bothered. This shows that even an unjust person can be moved by persistence. And how much more will our just and loving God, who is the righteous judge, respond to our persistent prayers according to his will for our lives? The widow reminds me, in a way, of the story of the boy who cried wolf, which is one of Aesop's fables. In that story, the boy is constantly crying out to the villagers that there is a wolf about to get the sheep he is watching. But twice he lies to them. They come up the hill, they see there is no wolf, and he snickers and laughs at them. And of course, they go back down to the village. But on the third time, when there is actually a wolf, no one comes to help. So the sheep run away, and the boy is left alone, weeping and wondering why no one came to help him. The moral of this tale, according to Aesop, is that nobody believes a liar, even if he is telling the truth. However, in Jesus' parable, the widow isn't lying or ignored, despite her constant nagging. I'm sure any one of us has either been accused of nagging or has claimed that someone else is nagging. I'm definitely been accused of nagging. I'm sure my mom has said many times. Maybe we or someone we know has always stand firm on certain issues and has never backed down from their opinion or stance, whether it's saying the word pecan or pecan in a certain way, or deciding one way or the other on, or picking a side on one way or the other on any social or political issues, you know, whatever's going on in our world. I believe Jesus uses this widow character as an example on how God wants us to pray. We need to pray just as the widow nags, especially when whatever we're praying about means so much to us. Our challenge often lies in matching the widow's persistence and patience. We want immediate results, but prayer requires steadfastness. Steadfastness. We tend to not have as much persistence or patience. At least I sure as heck don't, and I know my daughter doesn't. She definitely has persistence, but not so much patience. As you guys obviously know, I am a musician, and one of the things I absolutely love doing as a musician is really listening to music. I love listening to music, sometimes more than playing it, because you just sit there, and that's great. I like just sitting around listening to music. Oftentimes, I find us, even now with my daughter, usually it's around, you know, I get off of work, and I come upstairs, I hook my phone up to the Bluetooth, and I see my daughter, who, like many of you might know, she's two, the little toddler self dancing, and she says, "Daddy dance, Mommy dance," and music's playing, and so we dance, and she loves it. So I'm excited to hopefully, and I guess, do what I can to make her love music too. I don't know, but I do, and we do love listening to music. And some of you may also know I really love listening to heavy metal music. When I would commute to work a lot, I would, on the way home, I would listen to screamo because I didn't want to scream because that hurts. But when they're doing it in the recording, it doesn't hurt you, so it's relaxing. But more importantly, I love listening to heavy music, heavy metal music, because it's really fast and technical. And as a guitar player, I love that. And I love trying to learn that. I love listening to the awesome guitar licks where the guitar player are playing so fast that my brain can barely keep up. I sometimes take on the challenge of learning the songs too. Not by ear, just because I really can't keep up with that, but I use what's called guitar tabs, and that's basically so you don't have to read sheet music. You can look at six lines, which are the six strings on guitar, and it has numbers on there to align with where you put your fingers. And in fact, during COVID, when everybody was stuck home, I took it upon myself to learn a song that I've loved listening to and been listening to for 20 years, and I'm happy to say I still don't know it yet. But I know more of it than I did. So when I start going through the guitar tab, and playing the song slower, I tend to want to speed it up too soon. And then, inevitably, I miss a few or almost all of them, all of the notes, and the guitar lick or solo, whatever it is, it doesn't sound anything like the song. So I slow it back down and try again until I play everything correctly. And then I think I can speed up again, but of course, just as before, I miss notes and get frustrated. My persistence never really gets much past that, and my patience absolutely goes away a lot faster. But like I said earlier, the other character in this parable is the judge, and the example of the judge who, quote, like I said, neither feared God nor respected man, shows us that this person is a good example of what a human with some of the worst human qualities would do in this situation. But Jesus takes this description of a judge one step further. For someone who has that kind of power and who is not afraid of God or respects his fellow man is kind of a scary combination, especially back then. He only gives the widow justice so she would stop bothering him. He doesn't really care for her or her adversary. He didn't care about what she has done, what he or they have done to her. He only obliged so she could leave him alone. However, in verse 8, Jesus explains that God, who is the holiest of holies, our righteous judge, the Alpha and Omega, everything that we have been created from, will answer our prayers swiftly and certainly. How long is swiftly to God? I don't know. Not sure, but it's probably longer than we want. But Jesus then finishes this scripture, this verse, with a question, like most preachers do. He says, "When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" And this question is not just a casual inquiry. You know, Jesus doesn't just ask it for fun. It carries a deep and challenging implication. So the role of faith in prayer. First, let us consider what this means, what faith in prayer means. Jesus is telling us that when he returns to avenge and stand up for his persecuted people, will there still be faith on earth? This isn't just about the end times. It's about every moment when Christ comes into our lives to defend and uplift us. Will we have the faith to recognize and trust in his presence and actions? Faith is needed on earth. It's here on earth that faith is necessary. In hell, sinners face the reality they chose not to believe in. And in heaven, saints enjoy the fulfillment of their faith. But here on earth, in our daily lives, faith is our anchor. And Christ seeks faith. When Jesus looks down upon us, he isn't searching for innocence or perfection. Hallelujah. He's looking for faith. Like I said, when Jesus looks down upon us, he isn't searching for innocence or perfection. He looks for faith. When people came to him for healing, he often asked about their faith. It's the same today. He seeks our faith in him. Christ recognizes even the smallest faith. I think a couple of weeks ago we talked about faith as small as a mustard seed. It's really small. Even the smallest, most hidden faith does not escape his notice. He seeks out and cherishes the faith of every believer, no matter how weak or obscure. I think Jesus tells this parable to show his followers that even this widow, who deserved justice, kept asking for it and never stopped. She begged for it to someone who probably didn't know she existed. The judge had such little care for her, or anyone for that matter, yet she still received her justice. But we, as followers of Jesus, are God's chosen people, his children, and we are praying, begging, even nagging to our Heavenly Father, our Abba, our Daddy, about whatever ails us, whatever we feel strongly about, whether that's spiritual, emotional, whatever, whatever's going on in our lives. And he will always answer. He will always answer. Sometimes it may not be the answer we want. Probably won't always, or most of the time maybe, it might not be the answer we want. But it's always the answer we need. It's always the answer we need in his grand and perfect design for our lives. So as we reflect on this parable, we are reminded of the importance of unwavering persistence in our prayer lives. Jesus used this parable to teach us that persistence in prayer is not only about repeated requests, but about cultivating a deep, enduring faith that trusts in God's timing and wisdom. Persistent prayer reflects our faith. So when we persist in prayer, we demonstrate our faith in God's promises and his nature. It shows that we trust him to be just, loving, and attentive to our lives, to our needs, even when answers seem delayed. Our persistence is an act of worship, acknowledging that we believe in God's ultimate plan and his perfect timing. The role of patience. Patience is a crucial aspect of persistent prayer. Like the widow who did not see immediate results but continued to press on, we too must be patient, knowing that God's timing is different from ours. He sees the bigger picture and knows what is best for us, even when we cannot understand his timing. Isaiah 40, verse 31 reminds us, "But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." God's faithfulness. We must remember that God is faithful. He hears every prayer and values our persistence, our nagging. He really values it. Sometimes the delay in answers is a way for God to prepare us for the blessings he has in store for us. He is refining our faith, building our character, and aligning our hearts with his will. As it says in Romans 12, verse 12, "Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer." Encouragement to keep praying. Let this parable encourage us to keep praying fervently. Whether we are praying for justice, healing, guidance, or the light to turn green, whatever, let us do so with the same determination as the persistent widow. Our persistent prayers reflect our reliance on God and our belief in his goodness. Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7 reads, and encourages us, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Or, as another version, the Common English Bible reads, "Don't be anxious about anything." Yeah, easier said than done. "Rather, bring up all your requests to God, all of them, in your prayers and petitions, along with giving thanks. Then the peace of God that exceeds all understanding will keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. And finally, let us commit to being persistent in our prayers. Let us trust that God hears us, loves us, and will answer us according to his perfect will. May our faith grow stronger as we wait on the Lord, knowing that he is always at work for our good. Keep pushing, and that's pray until something happens. A little throwback to my youth. So keep pushing and rest in the assurance that our Heavenly Father is always listening and will respond in his perfect timing. Let us pray. God, thank you so much again just for the time that you've given us to gather this morning and the words that have been said. We know that it comes from you, and we know that you guide us all and have guided me, God. And it's just a blessing to be here, to just know that we chose to get up out of bed and come here this morning. God, as we are reminded of prayer and the persistence that we need for it, we know that you are always listening. And it may seem sometimes that what we're praying for or how we pray or what we say may not sound good or whatever, but that's not what you want. That's not what you're telling us, and we just need to talk to you. You want us to talk to you. You are our Father, our Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Daddy, who just wants to hear his children speak out to him, cry out to him over and over again. And sometimes when we cry out and you give us an answer, we don't want it, we might continue to cry out. That's okay, because we know that you are always listening. And we know that you love us and that your will for us is always the best that it can be, because it comes from you, God. We just thank you and praise you this morning and just give you all the glory. In your Son's most precious name, amen.